Oh, the wonderful word for today is light. Amazing message that God is light. Second thoughts about God today and about light today. It is, you may notice, kind of dark in this room right now. We're having another day filled with rain and cloud and darkness outside. And it's a little tricky in my office because if I turn on the overhead fluorescent lights, that's a light problem. If I turn it off, it's kind of dark. I got a little illuminating light in here. I have a couple other lights I wanted to let you know about. This one my wife got for me, and I often light it first thing in the morning when I want to talk to God as a reminder that light has come into the darkness and the darkness cannot extinguish it. And then behind me is another light that's actually kind of a family heirloom, not mine, not my family, but the man who owns this desk that I get to sit at. And it's a reminder that we're meant to receive light from God and to give light to each other. Light is both a radiant form of energy. It's the opposite of darkness. And because of light, we're able to see what a good thing that God made light. Didn't have to do that. We could live in darkness. But then light is also the opposite of heavy. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down, just crushed by life. And I'll give you rest because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we are to be sources of light for one another. We're to pay attention to the light. So today, look for joy. Look for God's goodness. Lightness of spirit. When Nancy and I were going to bed last night, this is just so goofy, but it was a reminder of the goodness of joy. We were just laying in bed talking, and we each have two pillows to prop us up if we're going to read. And I had put my extra pillow down by my feet, and Nancy said, "Don't do that because that pillow is going to end up on my side of the bed, and I'll have to hassle with it." I said, "Are you kidding me? Do you know how lucky most women in the world would count themselves to be a three-pillow woman? What a gift that is. I can't believe you wouldn't be grateful for that." And she said, "Just stop talking. You just sound dumb. I'm smarter than you and Baxter put together." And then she started to laugh so hard, I was afraid we were going to have a problem right there in the bed. And she started talking about, "Oh, I wish Tom, he was the fellow who, along with her, was voted class comedian so many years ago in their tiny little high school. I wish he was here so he could see that I've still got it." And it was so silly and so goofy. But those moments of laughter and joy that are available to everybody in the human race, quite apart from title, economic conditions, you know, education. Our God is a God of light, and we're meant to live in the light. And that is not pretending the darkness is not there, but precisely in the midst of the darkness. And this is what Dallas Willard writes in The Divine Conspiracy, the beginning of chapter 3, that starts on page 61. What Jesus knew? What did Jesus know? And the fundamental truth that Jesus knew is we live in a God-bathed world. Dallas begins by quoting an author, Max Picard. "In the world of faith, the heavens above the city are friendly and near. They are the upper chamber of every house." Where is God? He's right upstairs. Whatever is happening in your little abode right now, whatever darkness you may face, the light is right upstairs. He is right at home. Friendly and near. Friendly and near. That is our God. Dallas writes, "Jesus' good news about the kingdom can be an effective guide for our lives only if we share his view of the world in which we live. To his eyes, this is a God-bathed and God-permeated world." And so now you and I will have to think about whether or not we believe that's true. It is a world filled with a glorious reality, where every component is within the range of God's direct knowledge and control, though he obviously permits some of it for good reason to be for a while otherwise than as he wishes. It is a world that is inconceivably beautiful and good because of God, and because God is always in it. It is a world in which God is continually at play, in which God is continually at play, and in which he constantly rejoices. until our thoughts of God have found every visible thing and event glorious with His presence, the word of Jesus has not yet fully reached us. I was listening yesterday to a talk that Fred Buechner did 30 years ago at Calvin College, and he said, really, the message of artists is so close, so close, so close to the message of the saints, to the message of the scripture, which is pay attention. Would you wake up? Would you look around you? Authors tell us this with words, and poets and painters and musicians. Listen, see the goodness that is all around us, and it is there because God has placed it there. There's a wonderful passage in this chapter where Dallas writes about walking onto a beach in South Africa, and I had seen beaches before, he says, or at least I thought I had, but I was unprepared for the beauty and the wonder and the majesty, space and light and texture and color and power that hardly seemed of this earth. Gradually, there crept into my mind the realization that God sees this all the time. He sees it, experiences it, knows it from every possible point of view. This and billions of other scenes like and unlike it, in this and billions of other worlds, great tidal waves of joy must constantly wash through His being. It is perhaps strange to say, but suddenly I was extremely happy for God. Now that's worship. To be happy for God. And I thought I had some sense of what an infinitely joyous consciousness He is, and of what it might have meant for Him to look at His creation and find it good. We are enraptured by a well-done movie sequence, or a few bars for an opera, or lines from a poem, or fish swimming around a tank. We treasure our great experiences for a lifetime, and we may have very few of them. But God is simply one great, inexhaustible, and eternal experience of all that is good and true and beautiful and right. This is His life. And so, we look for Him in our world, and we don't deny the darkness. It is present in our midst, but it's not the ultimate reality. This is from the book of Acts. Towards the end, the Apostle Paul, who is facing imprisonment, martyrdom, death quite soon, is standing before King Agrippa and trying to describe to him his life and why it is that Paul does what it is that Paul does. And he says, as he's talking about the fact that his life is very difficult and people have been trying to kill him, but God has helped me to this very day. And I read that and I thought how easily it is for me to get burdened. When I woke up this morning, I was thinking about financial issues and a conversation I had yesterday and what will I do about that. And challenges around writing and what am I going to do with that? And what if it doesn't turn out the way that I want it to? And I was talking to my friend Rick this morning and he was saying how one of the things he and his wife have been working on is just thinking about the percentage of life that goes to work and what percentage will go to relationships, what will go to family, what will go to parenting or grandparenting, if that's the case, what will go to friendships. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to think about. What percentage do I want the energies of my life to go? And that idea of looking for God's help is not to be passive. It's not to sit back. It's not to wait for my circumstances to change. It is to plunge into the areas of my life. The challenges that face you today around finance or around your work or around relationships, plunge into them with confidence and expect that God will be with you and that His burden is light. Paul says, I have received help from God from that first day until right now, so that I can spread this news that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, would suffer. He would face darkness and be the first to rise from the dead and would bring the message of. Now, what do you think Paul would use to describe the message Jesus brought? This is Acts chapter 26, verse 23. And would bring the message of light, just that, the message of light, to His own people and to the Gentiles. Fascinating that when John had to summarize Jesus' message, he uses precisely the same word. And this is the thing, the message that we heard from him. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So today, second thoughts about your burdens, second thoughts about your problem, second thoughts about our world. The heavens are friendly in there. God is right upstairs. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. He is our help. So whatever you face today, anytime you see a light, anytime there's a little candle that gets lit, or you look outside and are reminded of the sun. My son, who's a science guy, was just telling us the other day, you know, it's such a good thing that God made light so that it travels through space, but sound does not. If sound did on the earth, if the sound of the sun could travel through space, it would sound like the sound of a jackhammer right next to you 24 hours a day. Imagine. Thank God that light travels and sound doesn't. What a good God God is. When you look up at the sky and you see the light or the stars or the moon, when you look at a light bulb, remember, God is light. His burden is light. Find joy today. Find light in the midst of darkness. Second thoughts.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team, and I'd like to let you know about a couple things coming up in January 2026 that you might want to know about. First of all, we are launching into a brand new series with fresh teaching from John on Tuesday, January 20th. That series is called No Condemnation. In a world that is so quick to deal out condemnation, what does it mean for those who are in Christ to live without condemnation? John's going to be walking through that topic. He's excited about it. So mark your calendars, January 20th. We'll see you then. Also, at the end of this month, John will be one of the main speakers at the Practicing the Way Pastors Conference. That's January 26th through 28th. I believe the in-person event, the tickets are already sold out, but you can join online if you want to. Head over to practicingtheway.org to find out all that information. At Become New, we distribute 10 minutes of spiritual formation teaching every weekday to help you grow in Christ. One day at a time. We'll see you next time.